All right, come and grab a seat and we'll get started. I hope we've thrown you all off by rotating around just to just when everyone gets their bearings. We like to change things, possibly, or it could be that there's now a box in the way of where the screen used to project. That is also likely the reason. So I'm Michael, if I haven't met you before. It's good to see you all again. It's been a few weeks for me. I've been away overseas, so it's good to be back. Now, we've been going through a series called Knowing Jesus in the Psalms. Some of it looks a little bit fuzzy. Don't worry, it's just a projector. It's not your eyes. I thought it was mine, but it's not. So we're going through Psalm 23, which is a rather famous one. If you've been in Christian circles for a while, you've probably heard it or sung it or something like that. So we're going to sing a version of it together shortly. We're going to sing two songs in a row. The first one's going to be Bless the Lord, O My Soul, and then The Lord's My Shepherd, which is just a setting of Psalm 23. There's many different settings, and we're just going to sing one particular one. All right, so we're going to sing Bless the Lord, O My Soul. And if you're able, if you wouldn't mind standing for this one, and if you're able, and we can sing along. All right, if you want to stay standing, and we'll sing The Lord's My Shepherd. So again, you'll see that this is a setting of Psalm 23. Now, if you haven't sung this one before, there's a section, the chorus section here. There's actually a thing called a descant. So the guys sing this part and the girls sing this part. So the words are slightly different. Did I get that right? The right way around? Just follow along and I think you'll pick it up if we have some ladies to lead that part there. All right, take a seat. Start the recording. All right, so I'm just going to, I'll tone you down a little bit so you don't all get bombarded with me. All right, so I'm just going to pray, and then we're going to read God's word and have a look at Psalm 23. Father in heaven, we thank you for the way that the whole Bible works together, have both the Old Testament and the New Testament with books like the Psalms, all point towards Jesus. We pray that as we open your word tonight, that you would clear our minds, open our hearts, and reveal yourself to us. Please be with me as I speak and clarify my words and make sure that I don't say anything that is untrue. So again, we thank you for your word and we look forward to hearing from you tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. As always, if you've got questions, save them till the end and then we can go through those. So Psalm 23. Before I get into this, actually I'll hide that so we don't get distracted. The aim of this series is to show how the whole Bible points to Jesus. Okay, I've been asked before, why should we believe Jesus? The Old Testament, or the Torah, as the Jews call it, which is a small section, the first section that's been around for a very long time. Yeah, you know, and suddenly Jesus pops up and we're just meant to ignore all the Jewish history and believe in a new guy. What makes him better than the Jewish tradition, or the Jewish God, if you will? Interestingly, though, when you look into the Jewish teaching a little more closely, you'll see that their teaching actually pointed towards a savior. Right? It isn't about Christianity versus Judaism. Judaism was always just a pointer to Jesus. So we actually have this winding story of God creating the earth, okay? Man disobeying God, God giving them a law to explain what he expects from them, and then introducing an animal sacrifice system to show how their disobedience needed to be punished. He then told them to look forward to a time when he would send a final sacrifice, Jesus, or the Lamb of God, if you will, the biggest sacrifice that was sufficient to pay for all the sins of the world. So now the book of Psalms, all right, or a book of songs, Psalms just means songs, are great examples of scripture that point towards Jesus. So these are songs that would have been sung by the Jews. They would have been very familiar with them. All right, so as we'll see, when Jesus said certain things in the New Testament, it would have clicked with the Jews in their mind to have made the connection and gone, ah, that's from that song. Ah, you're fulfilling that promise, or you're fulfilling that metaphor, as we're going to see tonight. So let's read Psalm 23, or Song 23. The Psalm of David, and this is King David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Wow, can't even read that, so I'll talk through that in a second. So the song of praise by the author King David talks about God being David's shepherd. Right, the whole song starts with that and then fleshes out what that looks like. And he takes the shepherd picture and explores it, talking about how exactly God is his shepherd. We're going to look at three particular ways that God or Jesus is our shepherd tonight. So first one says leading through life. You can barely read that. Second one says leading through tough times or through death. And the third is abundant blessing. All right, so let's jump at the start. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness, paths of righteousness, for his name's sake. So here King David calls the Lord his shepherd. A few weeks ago, Peter talked about the use of the word Lord in capitals, as we saw it here, right, which meant the personal name of God. So David here is actually talking in a very personal sense, saying, the Lord, whom I know, is my shepherd, and I shall not want for anything. Now, we don't know too much about shepherds today. I mean, we do in the history books, but, you know, all of us, you know, today, they're not something that most of us will have been exposed to. But back in David's time, they were very common indeed. The shepherds were responsible for their particular flock of sheep or goats, etc. And they would protect them from harm, chasing off wolves or predators. They would stay at night with the animals to make sure nothing happened to them. And David himself was actually a shepherd before he became a king. So when he called the Lord his shepherd, it would have been very rich to him. It would have had a lot of meaning behind it. He knows the way he tried to look after his flock, and he knew that God was the ultimate shepherd, if you will. And lastly, this is also the reason that he spoke about God in this personal sense. The shepherds knew their sheep, right? Each one apart from each other. They weren't just balls of wool. They were known individually by the shepherd. He elaborates on this metaphor, talking about how the Lord lets him lie down in green pastures, right? How the Lord leads him beside the still waters. We have a picture here of God providing the food he requires, the drink he requires, giving him a resting place in the safe green pastures, providing all the things he needs in life. And then he goes on, he says, he restores my soul and he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So not only does he provide for our earthly needs, but he gives comfort to our souls. Now, we are so blessed today. Back in the Bible times, food was no guarantee. We see places like the Lord's Prayer, where it talks about give us our daily bread, etc. We see Jesus doing miracles, providing food for his people. So people knew that they had physical needs, but they also knew they had spiritual needs. The metaphors of Jesus being our daily bread and the Holy Spirit being living water would have really resonated to people in these times. But today in Western culture, most of us don't want for food or drink. We can turn our taps on at any time and receive fresh, clean water. We generally don't go hungry. We are truly a blessed nation. But I think that the abundance of God's blessing often leads people to not consider their spiritual needs. When we talk about the needs of us to be reconciled with our Creator, many people say, look, you know, whatever you need to get through life. Religion is just a crutch for people to lean on. Often people are ridiculed for acknowledging their spiritual needs that we all have. So David knows that his soul needs restoring, it needs refreshing. He knows that he needs leading in ways of righteousness. He wants to please his God, but he also knows that he can't do it by himself. That he needs the Lord to help him, that the Lord is the one that restores his soul, that leads him in righteousness. So we have David the shepherd king saying that the Lord is his shepherd. You know, we have a lot of metaphors there, a lot of examples of how God helps us, etc., guards us, knows us personally. Where does Jesus come in? I did say that we would find Jesus in this psalm. When Jesus was establishing his earthly ministry, telling people of the kingdom of God, a number of times he gave himself titles that would have resonated with the Jews or with the people that he was speaking to. Titles that they would have known from their scriptures. Titles like the Son of Man, the Son of God, Messiah. But there was another title that he gave himself. He said, I am the Good Shepherd. The Good Shepherd gives his life for his sheep, for the sheep. So Jesus said, I am the Good Shepherd. You can imagine as Jesus is trying to explain who he is to the Jews, saying, you remember how David referred to the Lord as his shepherd? That's me. I'm the shepherd he was talking about. The metaphor is perfect because Jesus came to lead his people and he would give his life to protect them. Jesus is the ultimate shepherd. Jesus' death and resurrection provided the ultimate green pasture that we can be in eternity. It makes a way for us to rest our heads in heaven, the greenest pasture there is. Jesus' death brought about the ultimate restoration of our soul, the ultimate refreshing of our soul. Our souls in our sinfulness were bound for hell, but in doing his shepherdly work of laying down his life for us, he secured the ultimate restoration of our soul. Jesus came proclaiming the kingdom of God, leading those who follow him to the ways of righteousness. Jesus is the good shepherd, the ultimate shepherd that leads us in life. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So we've seen how Jesus leads us through life with his work as a shepherd that has been foreshadowed all these years ago by David. And David continues on with verse 4, talking about how he has no fear of evil or death because the Lord, his shepherd, was with him. So not only does the Lord provide food, safe shelter, but here he is as a comforter in times of trouble. One of the scariest things that we can be faced with is the prospect of death. When I had my car crash over 10 years ago, I was told that I should have died. I don't think I knew the Lord then. I remember having vivid dreams of what could have been my death or my friend's death. It was a very confronting experience, to say the least. It was certainly instrumental in me becoming a Christian. I didn't want to face death alone. And now I can confidently say that I do not fear the valley of the shadow of death, for I know that my Lord is with me. I know what it feels like to face death without Jesus, and the fear, there is only fear there. Jesus has faced death himself and defeated it. He knows what it is like, and he is there to comfort us. In Matthew 28:20, after giving some commands to the disciples, he says, "And lo, I am with you until the end of the age." He reminds them that he is there and that they should fear no evil. Even if they are called to give their lives, as many of them were, they should not fear as Jesus would be with them. What a wonderful promise. So not only does God provide our basic needs, he also is also there during troubling times and even to those moments of death. Especially when we need him. We need not fear death. Now, God doesn't just stop at providing our needs and being with us during troubled times. He goes even further. "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." So David talks about the abundant blessings that God pours out on him. His cup runs over. It is more than full. God is so generous. Notice that as he continues, he kind of specifies, he says, "Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." The abundant blessing here is the blessing of God's mercy and goodness. This is not saying that God will make everyone rich in an earthly sense, but rather that his mercies are never ceasing. That despite the fact that we continue to disobey him, that we continue to disobey our God, mercy shall follow us all the days of our life. And this ultimately only came about because of Jesus' sacrifice. So when Jesus died on that cross, he made it possible for mercy to follow us all the days of our lives. His death paid for every sin that we have committed, that we are committing, and that we will commit. Jesus said in John 10:10, just before he talks about being a good shepherd, he says, "I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." So not only did Jesus come to lead us to the ultimate green pasture of heaven, not only did he come to give us the living water of his spirit, not only did he face death so that he can truly be with us in troubled times and as we face death, but he also came so that we may have an abundant life filled with goodness and mercy, so that we can be reconciled to God, so that our sins can be forgiven. Again, what a generous, loving God. Now, how did David respond to this? He said, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So in knowing all these things, all David could say was, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. He says, I just want to follow God and live with him forever. How could you respond any differently? Seeing all that God has done for us, how could your response be anything other than, I want to dwell with the Lord forever? I do want to ask, though, why was David so confident in all of this? Why did he respond in the way that he did? There's only one reason, and that is because he knew the Lord. He knew God. He had absolute assurance that God was able to save him. Now, this is well before Jesus' time. He knew that God would be sending a Savior, and he had faith that Jesus was coming, that God was able to save him, that God would honor his promises, and that gave him comfort that God would provide for his needs, would be with him in troubled times, and that God would bless him. This led him to the same conclusion that millions of Christians have come to around the world, that he wanted to dwell with the Lord forever. This song or this psalm is another example of how we see God's word, the Bible, all tying together. It's weaved masterfully together by a loving God who is revealing himself wherever we look. Jesus can be your shepherd. If you feel like a lost sheep, not knowing where to go in life, being afraid of death, follow Jesus. He is the good shepherd, and the only way to have a life full of goodness and mercy, and ultimately to be with him in the green pastures of heaven. Amen. Now, questions. Who has questions from that passage at all? From anything I said there tonight. Back one?
Yeah, you said that the language is like a metaphor picture. Can you explain a bit more? It leads me inside the still waters and the still waters. I know it's a poetry and
Sure. So I'm also not a poet, and so you might have some answers for me after. But I think one of the things that I picked up in reading particularly about those first two verses, so he makes me lie down in green pastures and leads me beside the still waters. A lot of people were surmising by the things that were not being said here. So the fact that you can lie down in green pastures means that, you know, as a sheep particularly, you're relaxed and you're not worried about animals coming to attack you. You know, you're not on your guard. You're able to lie down and rest knowing that God is watching over you. Obviously, being green pastures, if you're a sheep, means that it's a soil that, or it's rather, you know, it's not grey pastures with no food there. There's abundant food, and again, your ability to lay down in safety. He leads me beside the still waters. This was a bit of a troubling one as I was reading. They were pointing out, again, what was not said here, that it wasn't raging torrents of water, that it wasn't stagnant water, but that it was still water enough that, you know, you can drink from that refreshingly, but it's not dangerous. And that, again, it was the perfect situation for providing water. And also the makes me lie down in green pastures. It does sort of draw this analogy as Jesus being this shepherd who makes us to be able to lie down in the green pastures of heaven, as I tried to allude to there, where, you know, we can have this ultimate comfort, and it sort of brings that picture to, you know, whilst David was feeling that now, which is great, I know sometimes it doesn't feel like that he's leading us to the still waters and that we are made to lie down in green pastures. So for those times when we're not, I think it's a wonderful reminder that that's what it's going to be like when we enter that rest of heaven, that final rest where we can lie down in those green pastures. And quite likely there will be physical green pastures that we can lie down and enjoy. Does anyone want to add anything to that? Who is perhaps more adept at poetry than I, and you know, anything that they've read or so?
I like the picture you give of sort of peaceful
I think of that one as up here. So when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, for you are with me, I will fear no evil, because I think of that for tough times. You've got both of the literal shadow of death, so on death's door, and even today someone was telling me a story of where this, you know, there was someone on their deathbed and a loved one who knew Christ, and they were reading the psalm together, and that gave them real comfort in that moment of death, and they died shortly after. That they felt that I guess Jesus was there to guide them through that valley of the shadow of death. So whilst it's not only that time in actual death, and that was the example I gave in my own life situation, but we also have, I will fear no evil, and for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And there's a picture here I didn't go into for lack of time, but the rod and your staff, you know, one is for warding off wolves and things like that, and the other is actually for keeping the sheep in line. So we also have this kind of discipline idea, that both the discipline of God and also the fact that he keeps evil away from us is comforting to him. And I did think that was a cool picture, but I didn't mention it. But I don't know if there is a, and please disagree with me, I don't know if there's a direct promise that we're not going to have problems in this life, but I think that there's a promise that when we truly have a relationship with Christ, we have no need to fear. So that it's more our attitude around those situations in life, that when they happen, that we can know that that the shepherd is watching over me and is looking out for me, and he's got that rod and that staff, and he's protecting me or rebuking me, whatever, and that's good to me. And that should comfort me despite how I feel in the moment. I don't know, does that make sense? Good question. It's just something different. You've got to, it's good to see how all the different parts of the Bible point to Jesus. So, we've been working in the New Testament for a bit, so it's good to look in the Old Testament and see ways. And in the Psalms particularly, again, you can see really clear connections where he says, the Lord's my shepherd, and Jesus says, I'm the shepherd. So there's a really clear connection there. So it's a good one to look at and see where that would have come from. That's right, you did. You did. That's right. Thanks, Deborah. Did you have anything more that you wanted to add to that, Kim? Absolutely. Well, it's interesting. I don't know if I feared evil. I think I fear the shadow of death. I think if you're someone who knows the Lord, and evil is happening to you, you have no need to fear it. But as someone who at that point I don't think was a Christian, I just feared death. I don't think that was evil. I probably feared my own evil, I guess, but I just feared death. And that, that's why I almost separated it from me, because I had no right to say this, because I have everything to fear when Christ is not my shepherd. If Jesus is not your shepherd, then it's all of this is actually the opposite. You will be scared of death. You will fear evil because, that's how you react. For God is not with you. And the rod and staff, they don't comfort you. So the complete opposite is true if you don't know Christ. And as I said right at the end there, David was confident in all this because he knew the Lord. In that personal sense, he knew the Lord. And if you don't, then the opposite of this is all true for you. And none of this is true. Verse 4? Yep. Yep. Are with me? Yeah, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It's a nice verse, isn't it? It's very comforting. Yeah. All right, any final questions? All right, so what we might do is going to sing one more song. Okay. This is called His Name is Wonderful. Now, I don't know this one, so perhaps... is there anyone here who knows this one, or should we play a verse? Oh, there's enough people here who know. All right, great. So we'll start that one through. All right, so I'm just going to pray and we'll give thanks for the food that we can all enjoy together. So make sure you stick around, say hi, and have a bite to eat with us. Dear God, thanks again for revealing yourself to us, again through so many different parts of the Bible that all weave in together and reveal your word to us, reveal your son Jesus to us. And we pray that for any here who you are not their shepherd, that you would reveal yourself to them and that they would know that you can be a shepherd to them and that you are the good shepherd and that you laid down your life for them. And Father, I pray for all of us who do know you as well, that you would help us to look forward to that green pasture of heaven and that you would keep us going through this life. Thank you for good food and good friends and that we can enjoy this time together and that you provide abundantly for us. So I ask your blessing on the rest of this night and that as we enjoy friendship and enjoy food, that you would bless our conversations. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for coming and come and enjoy some food and friendship.
I really like the message.